Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. Coming to you from Missionary in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm here with Scott Dunford, and we are excited to welcome two friends of the show, friends of ABWE as well, and we'll let them introduce themselves in just a moment before we get into our conversation today about how mission agencies, sending agencies, can collaborate more effectively and better with one another. We want to let you know, if you're enjoying these exclusives from the conference that we've been dropping, you can get access immediately to all of them now, plus so much more, including our chat group and exclusive webinar invitations and our weekly bonus episodes, all as a premium subscriber. Go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month there for free. Let's get into it, gentlemen. I don't want to butcher introductions. Ryan, you're coming back on the show for probably the fourth or fifth time. Go ahead and reintroduce yourself.
Yeah, Ryan Robertson. I am the president of an organization called Reaching and Teaching International Ministries.
Great.
And Dwayne Tweeten, I'm the president of Training Leaders International.
Very good. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Good to be here.
And we love both of your organizations and ABWE as well. There's so much, I think, affinity between each other, which is we believe in educating pastors, training leaders. It's not only about reaching, it's about reaching and teaching. You have to do both. Yeah. But then I think we run into this thing. Look, we're at this conference. We've got booths all next to each other. How can we be working together and not merely in competition? And I don't think we're in competition, but it's a question we have to dive into.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a reunion we get together.
We're watching,
like we sit around talking, like, oh, we got to start recording because we just love seeing each other and have a lot of affinity. And you know, I was watching one of the videos because on the screen, one of the speakers, you know, they're talking about like in Africa or South America back in the day, you know, they come in and say, hey, the Presbyterians are taking this place, the Baptists are taking this place, the other Baptists are taking this place, the other Presbyterian, you know, like depending on what denomination, you know, and they would work collaboratively and think strategically. Well, we have a big world.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to add one more anecdote. Like I remember when I was a missionary in China, we showed up to Hong Kong for a big collaboration on how to reach Uyghur people. And everyone's going through the books they were translating and the work they were doing. And it's like the prayer of Jabez was being translated like four times. One of us, you know, one, we were like, why is it translated? And two, four, why is it being translated by multiple groups at the same time? And like things were just being done in a haphazard way that just wasn't really maximizing kingdom effectiveness. Mm. Well, here we are. Organizations that, like, if someone said, I'm not going to ABW, I'm going to Reaching and Teaching, I'm like, you know, awesome.
God bless
them. Going to TLI, awesome. These are great organizations. So, what examples do you guys have of, like, ways that you have collaborated? Or what are some ways that you could imagine that we could collaborate more to cover more ground?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Ryan.
Great question. One quick example involves TLI. We got a job description from a seminary in Africa, and they said, hey, we're looking to hire this position. And I quickly went to the TLI website, and they had already posted it. And I sent this brother an email back really quickly, and it was like, TLI is posting it. We're really happy to commend people to TLI to fill that post. It would be getting really confusing if you're getting multiple streams of personnel. If you've got an existing relationship with TLI, praise God, we're happy to recruit for that position for TLI.
Yeah.
And so that's just one right off the
bat. And we've done that conversely.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an example of that in Argentina, mm-hmm. where they're reaching teaching staff at a seminary, and we're glad to help fill those roles at the seminary there as well.
Yeah. So that's just low-hanging fruit. That's easy.
I think another example of that is we are unique because we are doing specifically pastoral training. And so we don't do the full gamut of things. We want to focus on how do we equip pastors. But there are many more aspects of ministry and the life of even that training pastors that we don't do. Yeah. And so there are sites that we have around the world where there are other ministries who are doing other aspects at the same time. They may be helping with funding for some of the trainees because the students are in a hard place and they can't train without that support or other kinds of opportunities. Yeah. And we depend on other orgs to do that.
ABWE itself, our International Theological Education Division, we've got over 40 sites and locations, plus a lot of informal as well. And there's such scale there. And at the same time, there's what is the statistic, 85%?
Some use 95%.
95% of the world's evangelical pastors don't have any formal biblical or theological training.
Right.
So even if all of our organizations were operating on all cylinders, firing away on all cylinders, we're not alone going to be able to take a blowtorch to that glacier and get anywhere. So what do you think needs to be done then? What are some of the untapped areas where there's collaboration potential? Because I do think that, you know, you look around, our culture is kind of pinching us, you know, closer together. We can't afford to be tribal in the missions community. We have to be working together.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, I think as long as an organization is orthodox theologically and they're holding to a good, robust biblical orthodoxy, I'm really happy to commend them. And I think I've got concerns about what partnership looks like with folks that maybe pursue pragmatic missions movement methodologies. For us, that's just a no-go. We're going to pray for them. We're going to hope the Lord bears fruit.
Yeah.
But it gets us into some complicated, because some of our instincts just aren't the same.
Yeah.
At the same time, I really do think that it starts at the top. So just a practical example, any missions leaders that are listening to this, I would just say, if you want to encourage Catholicity and camaraderie with other organizations, model that. Dwayne and I, we love hanging out. We got to hang out in Minnesota a few months ago. I want to make sure that my team hears me publicly praising the Ministry of Training Leaders International, ABWE, because that trickles down.
Yeah.
They have friendships on the field level with people from TLI and ABWE.
That's
and if
right.
they're like, man, reaching and teaching never commends these ministries, am I okay doing ministry alongside of them?
Right.
I would much rather hear about it a year or two down the road. They're like, hey, did you know that like we're partnering with an ABWE family or a TLI family doing something? Praise God.
Yeah.
The other thing is have good concrete examples when missionaries come and report back. And then broadcast those. So one example is one of our guys in Thailand had met with a pastor, and he's like, I didn't even know he was with Reaching and Teaching. I thought he was with another organization. And I was like, praise God. Like, I don't need him to walk around with this logo all the time and show his arm.
Yeah.
I think we just need to, as leaders, really model that generosity of spirit that we're looking for with our people.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a humility of being open-handed. And I've sensed that from Ryan. I sense that from you guys. I sense that that's what we want to be at TLI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a different kind of question, because I can imagine there's someone out there listening that would be like, you know, especially someone who's not involved in like missions, maybe that's like, why, you know, here's three organizations that are very similar in like their theology and they even like each other. Why three? Wouldn't it be better just to make one big one? And so
and we can call it ABWE. I'm just
Are you trying to acquire us right now?
Not at all. I'm actually going to make the opposite point. I think what I've seen is there's real value in the differences. You know, I mean, we're a certain kind of Baptist. We're planting a certain kind of churches. You know, I have a dear friend with TLI, Chris Bruno, who is, I support him, and he's Anglican, right? He could never plant a church with ABWE. We really don't want him to, you know.
Right.
But I love that he's doing theological training because he's brilliant, and he's a great exegete, and he's a great theologian. So what are some good reasons why we need more than one organization? Like, why are we three organizations, not one?
Hey, I just have to affirm, as I get the Baptists all staring at me in the same moment, I am Baptist. So I just, but TLI, yes, we are broad on that issue because we are not planting churches.
You use the Gospel Coalition.
We use the Gospel Coalition confessional statement intentionally because that describes who we are, but gives some breadth in order to train pastors.
Right.
Sorry, I'm back to your question.
Yeah. No, the question is like, so why do we need three different organizations or 50 different organizations?
It's the same reason. Why do we not just have one church in a city?
Yeah. Right.
Because there are things that we do hold as important that may distinguish each other, which is a good thing. We have different organizational cultures. We have different backgrounds. Timing is a big factor to that. And then just relationships, partnerships where we're working overseas. We may have a connection to somebody that Reaching and Teaching may not, or ABWE wouldn't. And this helps us fulfill those needs to serve the
church. Are you both baseball fans?
Yeah.
Huge.
Okay. So what's your strikeout pitch at Training Leaders International? What's your go-to pitch if you got to get that out? What's your fastball as an organization?
Mentoring people here to get them overseas to see what God's doing in the world and help equip pastors to function in local.
Because that wouldn't be our fastball.
Yeah, that is definitely our fastball.
Yeah. And what would you guys say?
Yeah, I think ours is twofold. Number one, methodologically, everything is stemming from the local church.
Yeah.
There's a conviction on the church, churchiness, I've heard others call it. And then I just think, secondly, it's, so that's the methodological. And then the ecclesiological is just, we're really Baptist-y. And I know you guys are ABWE.
But you're in Louisville.
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think about the Tom Schreiner, Steve Wellum, John Hamilton, progressive covenantalism, the nine marks, really sticky Jonathan Lehman-esque ecclesiology, that's where we land theologically. Mm-hmm. And we understand that there's just a breadth of convictions within even the Baptist world.
Yeah.
But we're going to best serve those types of local churches. Yeah. And at the same time, we're excited when those types of local churches join with a broader Baptist organization on some of those churches.
Yeah. And for ABWE, again, it's something else. I mean, we would echo and amen everything that you're saying about training pastors and also about ecclesiology. But we would also say that for us, it's taking disparate people with different platforms of ministry. Mm. Yeah, a lead church planter, a theological educator, but maybe someone who's also, you know, just simply teaching English and using that to build redemptive relationships and looking at that and saying, hey, let's all plug you into a single church planting team, and then let's get you all in that church planting cycle together. That I would say is where ABWE shines the most, even in the way that we train our missionaries as well. But I want to go back to something that you guys mentioned earlier. Both of you mentioned leadership.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody the other day. I couldn't tell you who, but somebody made the point that there really aren't that many examples in Scripture of organic movements of revival, of reformation among God's people, Old or New Testament, that happened completely divorced from leadership.
Right.
I actually can't think of any, right, where you have a terrible federal head, a terrible leader at the top, but the people, the Spirit of God's just moving across them. Like, usually, almost always, it's through a leader who's sound, who's following the Lord's leading, who is filled with the Spirit, and the Lord blesses as a result of that so oftentimes. And I think when we're here at a conference filled with mostly pastors, but also a lot of people interested in going, we're here in part to mobilize. I think we can all look at our fields and say there's a massive need for not only more laborers for the harvest, but more leaders in the laboring for the harvest.
Yeah.
And what do you guys, just personally in your own spheres where you're trying to mobilize, what do you see as the key to that? Because I don't think anyone would look at their leadership pipeline and say, like, it's full. We have enough. Here, please take some, right? I think we look at it and say, man, like, Lord, raise up more laborers and leaders for these harvests.
Yeah. For me, what I'm looking for in leaders, I'm looking for personal qualifications. And then I'm looking for kind of community affirmation, specifically church affirmation.
Yeah.
And where we see a guy with potential, maybe I meet him at a conference and he's like, I'm not really plugged into my local church, but I can tell there's some gifting there. I'm trying to get him into like an internship track. Mm-hmm. And I might say to this brother, you might be able to plug in 5-10 years down the road.
Right.
I'm okay with that. We're playing the long game. Mm. At the other time, I'm trying to find leaders that are multipliers of leaders. So pastors that are multipliers of pastors who have a generosity of spirit, like the generosity that we're hoping to model in our orgs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And say to them, hey, if you've got any guys that would kind of fit this mold, I think we've got some opportunities for them. Those are just two really practical things that I'm looking for.
Yeah, we would say the same thing. Character development and then that multiplication piece, that mentoring. Are they committed to discipling, raising up other leaders? And that's critical in leadership, because if you're not, I just was in Uganda, and one of our young pastors, he was 31, and I was interviewing him, and I said, why are you committed to training pastors? And he said, because every leader without a successor is a failure. And I thought, he gets it. He's trying to find leaders, raise them up and equip them and send them out. Beautiful. And that's what we want to do.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and ABWE would say, you know, we exist to multiply leaders, churches, and movements and missionaries happening. And that the multiplication piece is there as well. But that's one of the reasons I appreciate missionary. We appreciate our friends at Radius, because they do have a message that
I don't think was popular for decades, which is that in order to lead in the task of the Great Commission, it actually means, hey, expect suffering, prepare to do the long, unseen, anonymous, you know, long horizon of obedience and faithfulness, but prepare to do that anonymously, right? Your reward is in heaven. Not that the Lord can't bless you with success, but you have to set your expectations low that your reward is somewhere else. And I think that mindset is missing. I think for a long time we've promoted missions as it's easy, anyone can do it, anyone can get involved, and rather than recognizing, yeah, anyone can be involved in some way, but it also takes it takes someone that's prepared to do the hard thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and being willing to raise others up to run farther and faster than we can, maybe as leaders. I think that's that humility to say leadership is ultimately service and equipping others to do what God's called them to do.
That's right.
Well, so who's your successor? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Those conversations take place, right? Because right. Because none of us are permanent.
Yeah.
None of us are here forever, and we have to think of those things.
Can I use a baseball analogy?
Ask Dwayne. Yeah. I'm going to pretend like I don't understand
okay.
it.
Hey, so hold
this is bad.
I've been a sports fan my entire life, and I love watching leaders within sports, the sports world, manufacture leaders, and then those guys go and lead other teams.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the answers to your questions about how do organizations work together, one of the things that I pray for over the next few decades is that the Lord would allow for opportunities for some of our very own leaders at Reaching Amen. Teaching to go and flourish in another environment, if that's what the Lord calls them to do. I'd be so excited about them. We would want to cheer them into that. So you think about the GM who Cleveland Indians for, well, they're the Guardians now. You might have to edit that out. Yikes. So the Cleveland Guardians were just a wonderful manufacturer of really good assistant managers. And then all of a sudden, these guys are managing all around the league.
Yeah.
You've got that in hockey and football. And so I think we as leaders of missions organizations should equally look at a generosity of spirit and as a win for what we're working on together around the world.
Yeah.
If we see our leaders moving and deploying into different areas, and we can celebrate that. Yes. That's not what our human reflex is to do, is to cheer somebody into another organization.
Yeah.
And so I think we can model that really, really well.
It's a really good word. Yeah. Okay. And Scott, you kind of teed things off. That's a sports metaphor.
Thank you very much.
Anyway.
He's probably the best athlete of the four of us.
No, not the athlete, but we need to talk about the sports guy.
Yeah.
No,
stay away. I love sports ball. You started things off at the beginning of the interview, though, asking, you know, you have this traditional era of missions where denominational groups would split up countries geographically. And I think maybe one thing I'm getting from this conversation is it's not strictly along geographic lines. It might be more along the lines of like, you know, okay, your special teams is great, your defense is great, your offense is great, but we're going to attack it together.
That's right.
You know, and you're going to focus more on training leaders, and we're going to focus a little more on church planting. And there's going to be different emphases and flavors, but we can do that even in the same country, in the same context, sometimes collaborating our teams locally,
even in the
on
same
the ground
city.
With one another.
Yeah,
yeah, same city.
Right. Yeah, I was just in Tokyo, 35 million people. And the striking thing about Tokyo is the buildings aren't very tall because of the earthquakes and the fires.
Oh, interesting.
And so there's this sprawl you see from the Tokyo Tower that just, it does not end as far as your eye can see. And so it's really strategic to go into a place like Tokyo with a church planting team and find out, like, where are the ABWE guys? Are there TLI guys? If there's a church plant happening in Shibuya with ABWE or with another organization, maybe that's not the location we should be looking at on that block.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an advantageous thing to plant a church 40 minutes away or 20 minutes away and allow those two churches. Again, this is the importance of church. When it's about the local church, it doesn't matter what organization's doing the work.
Yeah, we're all working with sending churches. Right. None of them are tribalistic about which agency. They're like, just who can serve our workers the best way? That should be our focus.
Our guys that are pastoring in local churches and raising up leaders as pastors, I bet you 95% of their members don't even know what organization is helping them be there.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. Mm-hmm. It's not about the organization. And I think that ethos will allow us to do things together in Japan or Indonesia or Uganda for the glory of God and for the sake of his bride that really just makes much of the church. I want us to be forgotten.
That's right.
We should be forgotten.
Right. Yeah.
They shouldn't be writing books about organizations.
Yeah.
They should be telling stories of God's faithfulness through the church.
Beautiful.
Amen. I think we can model that.
Yeah. Amen.
I think that's right.
Yeah, one of ABWE's core values is our lives and possessions are for sharing. And it's the same way, you know, the Lord distributes everything that we need in order to do his work his way. But sometimes, you know, he gives this to this member of the body of Christ. He gives this capacity, this gifting to somebody else, and we need all those parts and pieces playing together.
Amen.
So the Missions Podcast is from ABWE. Obviously, you can go to abwe.org and learn more about us. Tell our listeners, viewers, how they can learn more about Reaching and Teaching and TLI.
Yeah, so Reaching and Teaching, you can find out more about us at rtim.org.
And Training Leaders International at trainingleaders.org.
All right, very good. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And may the Lord bring much fruit out of all of our people whom we serve working together for His glory.
Amen.
Well, you can get more content at missionspodcast.com. Remember, you can get all of our exclusives all at once, plus your first month free. Go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code missionary in all caps. When you do that, you're giving a gift to help this ministry of ABWE continue to have these types of critical conversations with leaders thinking through the lens of missions biblically. And so we're so grateful for you being with us. Until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.